Well, at some point yesterday, Bank of America might have gone to the ATM and found a balance of zero in there. That's how badly the stock was taking a beating. It closed under $7 a share, $6.38, dropping 7.5%. It was the big loser among U.S. financials on the market yesterday. And it came after the Moody's credit agency announced that it was downgrading the rating of Bank of America, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo. The credit rating agency said the government is, quote, more likely now than during the financial crisis to allow a large bank to fail should it become financially troubled. Here to talk about that and the Federal Reserve's finally announced a policy to trade short-term debt for long-term debt to try to ease credit obstacles in this recession environment is Louise Story, Wall Street and Finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times, and Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Todd, good morning.
Hey, good morning, John.
So, Louise, let's hit the Fed story quickly and then talk about what's going on with the Bank of America, because in some ways they're related. First of all, trading short-term debt for long-term debt, how is that going to improve the lot of Americans who are having difficulty getting credit?
Well, so, you know, the Fed owns about $1.6 trillion of different kinds of mortgage-backed securities and treasuries. And they own these because for several years now, they've been trying to push interest rates down. And they've done that. Interest rates are very low to help companies and help consumers. But it's widely acknowledged that this has not helped a lot of consumers, because a lot of consumers have blemished credit. So the bank won't lend to them because they say, look, you know, you got behind on your mortgage payment or your credit card payment. Or a lot of people are in homes that are underwater. So, you know, their houses are worth less than their mortgage. So it doesn't matter how low these rates go. You can take them down to 2% and the bank will not refinance if you're underwater. And so the Fed is going to try to push down longer-term interest rates by selling some of the short-term ones they have, buying some of the long-term ones, about $400 billion worth, may help companies, may convince companies to go build some factories and hire workers, maybe, although they may not, because they might say, well, no one's buying our product, so we're not going to do that.
Yeah, everyone keeps saying it's demand that causes
right.
us to
and
hire.
And the failing here is that usually in the past, pushing interest rates down helped because people could take advantage of them. But not only can consumers not because of their housing be underwater, but also, you know, companies have record cash. When you look at the cash they're sitting on, it's record. So they don't need money. They need to see demand for their products.
Right. And let's see how this might be related to the Bank of America story, in the sense that the Fed is getting down to the end of its ability to actually manipulate the economy. And so suddenly the credit rating agencies say, you know, it looks a little bit like maybe the Fed or the government is not going to have much of a choice than maybe to allow a bank like Bank of America fail. They downgrade on that basis and the stock takes an absolute bath. Do you think that the federal government is possibly moving towards allowing a bank like Bank of America to fail?
There were a lot of skeptics yesterday when Moody's said this. I mean, many, many people across Wall Street say, rubbish, the government will definitely bail out a Citigroup or a Bank of America. I mean, people really think that if we reach the brink like that again, that the government will do just like what they did in 08, come to the rescue. But Moody's was looking at the financial reform bill, the Dodd-Frank bill that passed over a year ago, and deciding to tell us over a year later that their reading of that bill is that banks will be allowed to fail. And the bill does say that. But of course, many people in the market don't believe that the government will actually follow that.
So going to the brink in Washington seems to be actually a popular fad these days. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Louise just sort of talked about the government, when it gets to the brink, will actually do the responsible thing. There's not a lot of evidence based on the session last night that that's actually going on.
Oh, now you're talking about the continuing resolution, the spending bill that we've been talking about on this show. Disagreements between Republicans and Democrats over how to pay for some funding for FEMA in the wake of all the disasters that have been going on, earthquakes, tornadoes in Joplin, Missouri, floods, Hurricane Irene, of course. John, a pretty spectacular failure by the Republican whipping team on the House floor last night, because the six-week government spending bill that was on the House floor failed 195 to 230, with 48 Republicans voting against it and Democrats in near unanimity against it. And this was after. Go ahead.
So this is about the divisions within the GOP, with the Tea Party not really voting with the Republican majority. But it's also about, you know, a possible imminent government shutdown once again, right?
It is possible. I don't want to overplay the possibility of a shutdown because, frankly, no aides or members, senators or congressmen on the on Capitol Hill right now who you talk to tell you that anyone has the stomach for the repercussions of another government shutdown and display of massive government dysfunction. They're going to try to solve this, but this is a much bigger mogul to overcome than they had before. They didn't even really get close on this vote, John. And again, only six Democrats voting for it. Republicans are back to the drawing board today on that bill to try to get rid of some of the pay-fors that Democrats hated to try to get Democratic votes. The problem in the House, as always, is the more Democratic votes you can get on board, the more conservative Republicans can jump ship. It's a tough balancing act, and tough choices have to be made. Then you got to get the Senate on board. And, they got a week to go.
And of course, at the bottom of all this is a possible government shutdown. And you say that lawmakers don't have the stomach for doing that. But I love how you went around and actually poked some of those stomachs to see exactly what the sentiments are. Listen.
Well, just like anything else, we'll come back with another one and get it done.
Will you take the Senate position and take it to the floor?
Senate position? No, we're the House. We'll take a House position.
Representative Kevin McCarthy, Republican House Whip, sounding pretty beleaguered there.
That was Kevin McCarthy, the Republican whip, the man who's in charge of rounding up the votes and counting the votes, coming off the House floor last night, realizing that they had just messed up and lost a big one. It is his job to say the House position is the position because that's how good negotiators negotiate. The truth is they have to bend a lot more now than they wanted to get Democrats on board, and that makes McCarthy's job tough because his job is to round up Republicans. But they do want to solve this. They want to. They have a week to do it before another shutdown.
Todd, does quickly, the GOP debate tonight, will the Fed Reserve policy be on the floor?
Oh, look, Republican candidates playing to the base have made a sport out of beating up on Ben Bernanke. You had the famous comments of Rick Perry referring to Ben Bernanke as treasonous. Michelle Bachmann, Ron Paul, both on the Financial Services Committee in the House, by the way, who love to beat up on the Fed. $400 billion of anything that you could call stimulus, even euphemistically, is going to be a big, big cudgel for them tonight. Look for them to beat up on Ben Bernanke and the Fed tonight in Orlando.
Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, kind of makes your beat a political beat these days, huh, Louise?
The Fed and all of Wall Street has become politics as well.
Louise Story, Wall Street and Finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
If wishes were trees, the trees would be falling. Listen to reason. Reason is calm.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.